Hello, and thank you for downloading this edition of the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Frahana Hyther, and today I'm bringing you a programme from our archives. Let me take you away from the stresses of your life and journey back to 1979, when Jon Kabat-Zinn opened the mindfulness-based stress reduction clinic at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, and so became one of the first scientists to popularise the use of traditional meditation techniques to tackle the stresses of modern life.
Mindfulness really is an ancient form of meditation practice that's often spoken of as the heart of Buddhist meditation. It's the awareness that arises from paying attention on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. Because it's about paying attention and the awareness that arises from it, it's universal.
Mindfulness has now become so mainstream it's prescribed in hospitals and courses are taught in schools. But when scientist Jon Kabat-Zinn began meditating as a young man, the practice was considered the product of 1960s counterculture and was seen as a fringe alternative pursuit.
Nobody had really heard the word mindfulness, and meditation was thought of as, you know, seriously weird, un-American, all sorts of things. So the climate was not the way it is now.
Jon Kabat-Zinn grew up in New York. His mother was an artist and his father worked as a scientist at Columbia University, which he says meant that from a young age, he was able to navigate both these worlds.
My mother was a very prolific painter, basically unknown, and my father was a molecular immunologist and one of the first scientists to study immunology. So I grew up in this, you know, household where there was a kind of interesting tension between these different ways of knowing.
He opted for science, but continued to be open to the world of arts and culture. And in 1965, while studying molecular biology at MIT, he began meditating after hearing a talk by Zen Buddhist Philip Kaplow
that he titled The Three Pillars of Zen. And I was 21 years old, and that talk literally changed my life. And it was all about Zen is a particular school of Buddhist meditation.
Jon started getting up to meditate at 5 a.m. every morning. He started studying meditation and going on retreats. He found that it centered him, made life more vivid, and calmed his mind. 14 years later, in 1979, he was working at the University of Massachusetts Medical School and was on a meditation retreat in the woods when he had a 10-second revelation, which was to change his life.
Sitting in my room at, you know, one afternoon by myself, it just came to me. Wait a minute, I'm already working at the UMass Medical Center, but why not create an environment at the medical center that's doing exactly what we're doing on retreat, but without all the bells and whistles that would turn people off if they were coming to a hospital, like Buddhas and, you know, iconography and chanting and stuff like that. Buddhist meditation without the Buddhism, if you will, and see whether it wouldn't help or not.
Why did you want to take the Buddhism out?
Well, if it's seen as Buddhism or as some kind of religion, then of course it's not appropriate to teach it in the hospital. So for me, it was like, this is universal. That was one of the insights that I had through all those years of practicing.
That vision would become his mindfulness-based stress reduction course, or meditation with the Buddhist elements stripped out. In it, he saw the potential to transform medicine, but first he had to convince his own university. He talked to several doctors who specialised in treating patients with chronic pain.
And asking them questions like, well, what percentage of your patients do you think you actually help? And they would say things to me that were actually astonishing. Like, well, maybe 10%, maybe 15%, maybe 20%. And I said, good God, what happens to the other 80 or 85 or 90%? And they said, well, they just keep coming back. They're not really satisfied, or we lose them to the system. And I said, what if you created a kind of safety net that were to catch people falling through the cracks of the healthcare system and challenge them in the following way? Is there something that you could do for yourself as a complement to whatever medicine is able to do for you that would actually help you to promote greater health and well-being. That's basically the kind of model of MBSR. And they said, why don't you write up a proposal and we'll see if we can make it happen. And so I wrote up a proposal and they funded it and said, go ahead, do it.
He structured an 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction course, harnessing the fundamentals of Buddhist meditation and transforming it into a therapeutic technique. Patients with chronic pain were referred to him to take part in the program. He took time talking to each prospective patient, all of whom had a range of diagnoses.
So I sat down with every single one of them for more than an hour, which was a very important part of the program. And the principle was, I would just listen. So that itself is healing in the sense that, like, people are listening to me. And then I would make the suggestion, this is in one-on-one encounters, well, maybe this could be valuable to you. I certainly don't know if it would be valuable to you. I'm not making any promises. But what do you have to lose? You've had 4 surgeries already. You know, you're dealing with all sorts of things that you don't want to be dealing with. Why not just try it as an 8-week experiment and see what happens?
And what kind of reaction were you getting from these patients? Were they all saying, yes, we'll take part?
Yeah, and I would say to them, Len, you can't drop out. I mean, you do it as if your life depended on it for 8 weeks. And at the end of the 8 weeks, you can tell me whether it was useful or not. And so, yeah, so, okay, this guy's trustworthy. I'll go with this for 8 weeks, even if it's weird, and then see what happens.
What happened was that after taking part in the program, the patients were going back to their doctors and telling them how much the course had helped them. Mindfulness had lost its ties with Buddhism and had crossed over into Western medicine.
The curriculum is present moment experience. Okay, so one thing I could do is assign you a task, okay? Can you feel your body sitting in the room with these 30 or 40 other people? Can you feel that? You don't even have to sit up and pretend you're meditating in some special posture. And the answer is yes, pretty much everybody can feel their body, but nobody's ever been taught that. That's mindfulness, mindfulness of the body.
I mean, you must have been met with some skepticism.
No, you know, that's the interesting thing is that the patients, there was no skepticism. A few may have dropped out, but the dropout rates were very low.
And what about from your other medical professionals?
Tell you the truth, they just started sending patients like crazy. Because they were hearing from these few patients that started out with it that this was really useful to them. But there was another element to it too. And that is one of the reasons that I think I didn't get much criticism or skepticism or anything else, aside from the results that we were getting that, you know, the doctors were hearing from their own patients, is that I did have a PhD from MIT in molecular biology with a Nobel laureate. So people would just naturally think, this guy must know what he's doing.
The course aimed to help patients cope with stress, pain, and illness by using what it called moment-to-moment awareness.
So the results that we started seeing when we would train people in 8 weeks of fairly intensive MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, is that people would go back to their doctors and they'd say things like, wow, I got more out of the 8 weeks of that stress reduction clinic than I got out of 8 years of medical treatments with you. They loved being in a group and they could listen to how much suffering was in the room. It's not just my suffering, but holy cow, this person has this and that person has that. And you go around the room and you hear what people's diagnoses are and what they're living with. And all of a sudden, it changes your relationship to what you're living with, and especially in terms of chronic medical conditions. And MBSR was designed to do the actual teaching of how you would learn to live with conditions that, of course, nobody would want to have to deal with that. But the fact is that it's here. So can we find new, more creative, wiser ways of befriending our condition? So the physicians were, in some sense, motivated to send more patients. And that's how it started and began to grow.
He and his colleagues started writing up the results in medical journals, and soon the clinic was making waves in the wider medical community.
People started by word of mouth hearing about professionals, psychologists, doctors, and wanting to sort of see what was going on. And I said, well, you can't come and sit in on a class. You'd have to take the program like a patient.
In a few decades, Jon Kabat-Zinn's own mindfulness technique has spread worldwide. And mindfulness has gone from an element in Buddhist teaching to a billion-dollar industry, which includes books and apps downloaded by millions of people. How does he feel about his role in bringing mindfulness to the masses?
when something reaches this level of notoriety and popularity in the world, there's going to be an element of hype to it. My own sense is that there are so many people out there doing good work, both on the clinical side, on the neuroscience side, on the political side, and so forth, that we, in a sense, have to trust. They may be making a lot of noise, and they may be making a lot of money, but I think the most important aspects of this are still healthy. You know, like you have Headspace, and then there's Calm. There are different apps now available that will help you on the glide path into your own mindfulness practice. I can't say that they're good or bad because I haven't really followed them, but if they are really mindful, then I think that's a wonderful thing.
Jon Kabat-Zinn is the author of several books and travels the world teaching mindfulness. He still gets up every day at 5 a.m. to meditate. He was speaking to me, Frahana Hiver, for this edition of the Witness History podcast. And that's it for me. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.